I'm on the line with IAHRS accepted member Dr. Sarah Wasserbauer to discuss, I guess, what I would consider the mass hysteria that seems to be a growing online phenomenon within the hair loss community. And I got to tell you, what's weird about this is, or it's not weird, but what's sad about it, it's recently crossed over into the mainstream media due to a few what I would consider to be questionable studies claiming that the use of finasteride, both Propecia and Proscar, can cause persistent sexual dysfunction, including permanent lowered libido, problems with orgasm, and permanent impotence, even after guys stop using the drug. Now, I think most of you know how I feel about this issue, but I wanted to get the opinion of one of the many well-known experts in the field who, and Dr. Wasserbauer, you can tell me if I'm incorrect about this, but who might not be convinced that these studies prove much of anything except that if what we already know about the drug, that it's possible that you could have adverse sexual side effects, and that from what we know at this point, it's still in a very small percentage of men. I mean, what are your thoughts about what's going on?
I think that there's in the first place, you got to just set up your mindset that, you know, if something were to happen, doctors would want to know about it from the get-go. And so you have to maintain an open mind when some questions like this are raised, especially if you're going to, you know, call yourself a scientist. And that's what, you know, doctors need to be. But
sure.
On the flip side of the coin, if you're going to be a scientist and you're going to seek truth in these kind of matters, you got to realize that article that was run just basically kind of raised the question, but it didn't prove a causal relationship. And that is, you know, I think where a lot of us doctors are frustrated is that sometimes when things get put on the internet, people take them as, you know, the word of God.
Right.
It's the gospel. It certainly isn't that.
Well, this is the problem that I have, you know, and I don't think it's necessarily the fault of this guy, Michael Irwig. And I got to tell you, I use the term study loosely, because to me, this really wasn't a study. You know, he
right.
basically conducted an interview process with 71 patients who were already complaining about persistent sexual side effects
yeah.
from the use of finasteride. And out of those 71 patients, I think it was like 92% of the study participants, and again, I use the word study loosely, reported that they developed sexual dysfunction after starting to take finasteride. 94% reported that they experienced low sexual desire,
right.
and 92% reported a decline in sexual arousal. And, you know, 69% said something about problems with achieving orgasm. The media latched onto this. They send out a press release, it was actually published in, the Journal of Sexual Medicine?
The Journal of Sexual Medicine, and even right before this, there was a study done in Germany,
right.
by in conjunction with the Boston University School of Medicine, that was the exact same thing they're talking about. Although, you know, adverse side effects have been minimal, it says, well, you know, let's look and see if there's something there that we can kind of latch onto. Because, you know, it's very upsetting for a guy to have any problems with his sexual health. I mean, it's something that people can minimize, and I think guys often do. And so when a guy sees something like this that lends credence to, oh my God, I'm having a sexual side effect, or I'm just having sexual problems and I wonder if it's this, you know, then it's reasonable to kind of look at these things. But at the same time, this study, it is the Journal of Sexual Medicine, and it is Irwig. You can look it up on PubMed, and I would encourage any, you know, reasonable consumer to go ahead and do this. PubMed is is PubMed.gov. It's the website where all the doctors put up their studies, you know, and kind of throw it out there for other people to look at and say what they think. But even he, in his analysis of his research, said, you know, this is something that we should just discuss with patients, that he's not suggesting that there's, you know, that finasteride is causing massive amounts of sexual dysfunction, you know, in the universe.
But it's even beyond that. You know, it's the fear that it's not just, okay, if I'm taking this drug, there's a possibility I'm going to suffer some sexual dysfunction, and then I could always get off the drug. It didn't work out for me. Now what's being perpetuated throughout the internet and now through the mainstream media is that this hair loss drug or this prostate drug can actually cause long-term adverse side effects, permanent impotence in a subset of people.
Guys, yeah.
And that's really where the fear is, and that is all over the internet. Now, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been taking the drug myself for about 16 years, and I'm actually getting hate mail at this point for promoting the product and talking about my experience.
It's an emotional issue, and, you know, guys really, really worry about this stuff and take it so personally that I think that sometimes the reaction is out of proportion to what's going on. And I think another aspect of this that isn't being covered by the media is that when you raise these kind of more, you know, extremist views, even though, you know, the internet is a wonderful education resource, I think when you raise these extremist views, a guy will say, oh, okay, the reason I'm having sexual dysfunction is it's Propecia, and it's because I took it 3 years ago sometime,
right,
when they might actually be having some problems, and that's going to give them an excuse not to look into what it is. If a guy had ever, you know, I've been prescribing this for 11 years, and I've probably put at least 5,000 or 7,000, I mean, between 5,000 and 7,000 people on this drug. And everybody who's my patient gets my personal cell phone and feels free to call me up. I've had one or two guys call me and ask me about this, and usually what I end up doing is saying, you know, I totally believe that you're having sexual problems. But here's the thing. It from what you describe, it doesn't sound like it is Propecia.
Right.
I think we need to look further. And I think that part of the danger of studies like this coming out and people getting online and saying, oh, it caused, you know, sexual problems, and then my wife left me, and then my dog died, and then, you know, my car broke down and I lost my job. You know, they ascribe every problem that they have in their life to this, is that that's where they stop.
Well,
and then they don't start to look for the real reasons they're having sexual dysfunction.
There are really a major impressive websites, well-done sites, well-organized sites that are committed to this cause. Really, they're out there saying, look, this is really happening. This has happened to me. This has happened to, you know, the 1,500 or so people who have joined this online community. And, you know, and there's one site out there, propeciahelp.com, which I have to tell you, it's actually a really good site. It seems like a very well-run site. And the people who are running this site truly believe that there is some sort of causation or some sort of relationship to permanent impotence and finasteride, and they will post every study that's out there. There are doctors that are becoming part of these communities that, in my view, you know, maybe they're seeing something in their practices that other doctors aren't seeing. But I actually recently got an email from a physician who was asking me, you know, what my financial agenda is when it comes to finasteride and all this. I'm just to let you know, I mean, I have no connection to Merck whatsoever.
I have no stock in Merck.
Right. You know, I mean, I talk about the reason I wrote The Bald Truth initially was to talk about my experiences in the industry and the fact that once I started finasteride, everything turned around for me and it really changed my life. And mm-hmm. we were able to get this information out to the masses through the books and through the radio show and now, you know, through the online world. And I think guys are doing themselves a great disservice not giving the drug a shot because of all this. And people are going to hate me for saying this, all this fear-mongering that's going on out there.
I think that the stronger the opinion, the fewer the facts. I think if you really want to make a stand on this, it's your responsibility to go out there and get the facts. And I also think that if you're going to, it makes zero sense that a medication that's taken regularly to maintain medical benefits has long-lasting effects once you stop it. And so if you're going to get out there and say, hey, this is having long-lasting medical effects, I think somebody who publishes in a scientific journal owes it to provide some physiological explanation of how they think that this is happening.
I'll tell you, Ehrwig's explanation was, and I'm quoting him here, it says it's obviously having some effect on the brain. It's messing up different hormonal pathways. Some of these pathways are important for things yeah. like libido and sexual function. He broke the code. You know, that's it. Now he figured it out. That's what he thinks is causing this. And there's no real clinical data. My thing is, show me the studies.
Oh, yeah, and you know, how many millions and millions of guys around the world are on this medication? And, of course, you're going to get a subset of 1,500 guys who think that something is going on, which is not to say that they're not having sexual problems. I would believe them that they are having sexual problems. My problem is when you say that, okay, well, I was taking finasteride, so that must be it. I think that, you know, that data is not there, and you have to be you got to be realistic about it. It might not be propitious.
What about the 19-year-old guy that comes on Bald Truth Talk, reads about using Finasteride, reads people's success stories, and then also reads Propecia Help and other sites, and they have this fear. And I've seen this happen several times on our forum. They're kind of struggling. They have this internal struggle about using the drug. They speak to other forum members. They get encouraged to use it. But because they have this in the back of their mind, like within a week, they're impotent. They have, you know, every possible adverse side effect.
Yeah, and that's the way that the psychology works. And I have a friend who does the men's sexual health, and that's his entire practice. And he told me once, and this is something I use when I do a consult, that, you know, if he told guys that the doorway to his office was a magic doorway, and if you walk through it, you're going to be El Studo for the next, you know, year or so, guys would be walking in and out of his place all day, and they'd find an excuse. You'd be like, oh, I left my wallet, I left my cell phone, you know, I got to come in and out of this door. And then if you told them, you know, that you walk through this door and you're not going to be able to get it up once, you know, even if they know that he's totally, you know, full of shit.
Sure.
Pardon my friend.
Well, that's okay.
They're going to leap through the window because it's just that powerful. Just the suggestion, even if you are a scientific person who knows, you know, you're reasonable and everything, just the suggestion, that's how placebo works. That's how the power of suggestion works. It is powerful. And those guys who feel like they're having a problem, it's not just in their brains. They actually are having a problem. Your body will manifest whatever you are suggested to manifest.
Look, the slightest bit of adrenaline, even if they don't feel nervousness or anxiety about having sex, the fact that it may have happened to them once, they may not have had as firm of an erection as they thought they should.
Yep.
You know, I mean, people, there are times, you know, even in very young men, you know, and listen, you know, I talk about this in the program all the time, you know, like the first time you use a condom, for instance, that can cause a problem. And then people could have they could perpetuate the psychological issue.
Oh, I've got a great story about that. So I had a guy who had long-term hair loss in his family. So we went back way back. And when he started to see it when he was 18, he got on Propecia. He called me back when he was 21. He's like, I'm going to have my first sexual experience. I'm like, good for you. He's like, now, are you sure that this Propecia stuff is not going to affect me? I'm like, no, you've been on it for 3 years. Have you had any problems? He's like, no. So then he says, well, it's happening this Saturday. Do you mind if I just keep in touch? I was like, not a problem. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, you're really close with your patients. Wow.
So anyway, he that phone call was on a Sunday. That next Monday, I get a text. He's like, are you sure this isn't going to affect me? I'm like, yeah, it's not a problem. Tuesday, I get two phone calls. I return him late in the afternoon. I'm like, no, it's fine. You're going to be fine. Wednesday, I get an email. Thursday, I hear nothing. Friday, I get one last phone call. And then Saturday night was his big night. And then Sunday, I get a call, and he's like, it happened.
Of course.
I'm like, yeah, dude, you talked yourself into it. I mean, of course it's going to happen. And why would your brain want to disappoint you so much when it built up this idea?
And also, if you're 21 years old, by the time you have your first sexual experience, you're probably pretty nervous about it to begin with.
Right, exactly. You've been dating this girl for over a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were very serious. And so that's
such a common phenomenon for first-timers, you know, and for virgins. And people don't realize, and some people aren't affected by it. They're like, okay, you know, next time I'll try it. You know, they're young.
Yeah.
And then some people it could affect for the next decade.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely the case. And it's very frustrating from a doctor's perspective to, you know, watch this happening and be an objective observer and to not be able to, you know, help a person who's kind of going through that initial anxiety about it, realizing fully that it's not the drug. It's just the fact that they, you know, kind of psych themselves into it.
Well, I don't know how much time, you know, and you probably are extreme. I know you're extremely busy. You probably don't have a lot of time to spend online. But, you know, the truth of the matter is it is so rampant now. And I've been doing this for a long time. Most of my friends, you know, as we've aged, you know, I was one of the guys who started the youngest to start to lose their hair. But, you know, just about everyone that I know in my personal life is now using Finasteride. You know, they kind of, you know, took my word for it that there's going to be no adverse side effects, and not a single one of them has had an adverse side effect.
I've been prescribing it. That's what's so bizarre is that, you know, you can only be an expert in a couple of things in your life.
Right.
And if you want to talk to the people who prescribe this all the time, I mean, you can talk to hair doctors.
Sure.
And you can talk to sexual doctors or men's, you know, health doctors.
Right.
And if there were really something that we had been you know, worried about. We're not out there to, you know, keep the secret. I love those ads. It's like the secret of hair loss. Doctors don't want you to know.
Right.
Oh, come on.
Sure.
So if I had been, you know, trying desperately to, you know, keep this all to myself, then I would not have been selling Propecia out of my office.
Absolutely.
For so long. And, you know, it's eventually going to, unfortunately, work itself into the system where guys are really going to be hurt by this kind of fear-mongering. And that's just unfortunate. And I'm really hoping that
Well, you know,
some sense gets, you know, the pendulum swings back.
Yeah, you've got to understand, though. Now the law firms are getting involved. You know, there's like cottage industries being built on this, you know, this, again, people are going to hate me for saying this fear-mongering. And this is not to take away from the guys that are really suffering out there, that really are suffering with the sexual dysfunction.
Right. But, no, he even, in his studies, he even said, study limitation, I'm going to read. From his abstract, study limitations include a post hoc approach, which means you do it after the fact, selection bias, which is huge,
right.
Recall bias from before finasteride data, and no serum hormone levels. I mean, it's really so frustrating to see something that's just weak scientific evidence-wise,
right.
and see this entire house of cards being built up upon it. It's very frustrating.
And I guess I think to myself, am I the anomaly? Am I the guy that, you know, and again, maybe this is TMI, but who, you know, is...
Who didn't have problems
well,
with his
and
sex drive,
who's just as amorous as I was when I was 25 years old and just, you know, enjoys my life and doesn't think about it, you know?
Maybe you're in love. I actually did have a guy call me once, and he said, you know, I'm having problems with my libido. I've been on this for 5 years. And so I asked him the two questions I usually ask. Did you recently stop and then restart the medication? Because then you might go through a period of increased or decreased sexual libido for a period, you know, like 1 to 3 days.
Right.
And he said, no, I've been on it. And then the second question was, how is your love life? And, you know, how is, you know, your relationship with your spouse? And he's like, actually, it's really crappy right now. I'm like, well, there you go.
There you go.
And he called me back 2 weeks later, and he said, you're absolutely right, Doc. I got a new girlfriend. My libido's fine. I'm like, no, that's not what I had in mind. I swear to you, please don't get a divorce on my account. But, Lord, it is frustrating, and I see this so often. I know it's going to just peter out over time, but we've got to give it time.
But it is sad, and there are a lot of guys out there who are truly suffering with this, and they really believe that this is happening. And it is, when I say believe, it is happening to them. So I don't want to discount what they're dealing with. But, you know, when these doctors who are just, you know, and I hate to say it, just these unknown guys that are now trying to, in my view, create this cottage industry by treating these patients who are contacting me, you know, with these angry emails saying that I have some sort of personal or financial agenda. I mean, what do I want? Do I want every guy to be impotent out there so I could be the only one that could, you know, that can enjoy myself?
Well, I mean,
you know?
And if you think about what the motivations are, why would hair doctors prescribe this in the first place? I mean, it's really in our best interest for guys to lose their hair.
That's right.
We make our living based on, you know, transplanting
That's
hair.
Right.
If you haven't lost it, I can't do anything
That's
for you.
That's actually a great point.
So why should I spend my time talking people into this? And, you know, once you kind of raise those, you know, common sense issues, I think people realize that, you know, it is a choice whether or not to take this medication. And there are risks with everything that you do in life. You're going to take a risk getting into your car in the morning. But the risks associated with this drug, you know, versus the benefits, it's just kind of a slam dunk from a medical perspective.
Well, yeah, and before we get to the bottom line, and I just wanted to give you some of your last thoughts, you know, I mean, what a lot of people don't know, and because it didn't get a lot of press, the same month there was a study that came out in the, I think it was the Journal of Urology, and it was a study of 80,000 patients who were taking anti-inflammatory drugs, non-steroid.
Versus 71, and you should you know make the point that anytime a study has a small number of patients, it lacks power. So 80,000 is a very powerful study.
Right, and according to the study, these were the men studied between the ages of 45 and 69. I know what everyone's going to say. Well, if you're 45 years old already, you're already going to be impotent, but that's not the case.
No.
You know, so the guys that were prescribed these medications who were taking them on a long-term basis had a 38% greater chance of sexual dysfunction, including impotence, because they were on this painkiller. Now, that's a study. Now, people aren't – I don't see people running in the streets, mass hysteria, guys who are afraid to take aspirin.
About aspirin, yeah.
You know, at this point.
So, I know. I used to get people to quit smoking by showing them the studies about how smoking makes you impotent.
Right.
And the same thing with diabetes, but nobody's out there, you know, waving their flags and making websites based on that.
Absolutely. You know, and so this is what's frustrating to me. And listen, you know, there's a lot of benefits, obviously, to the long-term use of aspirin, or even there's something that came out in Longevity Magazine, I think, last month, claiming that low-dose aspirin can actually decrease the risk of several cancers.
Colon cancer, chief among them, yeah.
Right. So
no, and exactly. And if something's going to help you long-term, well, and the FDA was considering finasteride long-term as a preventative for prostate cancer. I mean, you want to talk about longevity benefits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, so what's the bottom line? What do you think, you know, patients and hair loss sufferers who are coming on the forums and who are contacting us through our resources, who are panicking, I mean, what do you say to them?
I say take a deep breath, and here's what the real science is. Now you can decide not to take it or take it, but if you're talking about, you know, restoring your hair, that if you do nothing else after you leave my office or after you're starting to consider, get on Propecia, because I have more patients coming back to me 5 years later saying, you know, hey doc, you did a great job transplanting my hair. I really love this, but the thing I really want to thank you for is getting me on Propecia, because that is what finally, you know, stopped the hair loss.
Yeah, and I will tell you that, you know, I actually, someone posted on the forum, maybe it was 2 weeks ago or maybe it was a week ago, a guy that used to listen to me here in Los Angeles when I was on the FM talk station here, you know, 12 years ago. And yeah, he wrote in basically to thank me for my book and thank me for suggesting that he start using Proscar. And it saved his hair. Now he's considering having a hair transplant. But, you know, I get these stories all the time. This one happened to be, you know, written publicly. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot more motivation for something bad to go on the internet, right? If you're having great results from Propecia, what's your motivation to get online and say, hey, I'm having great results? There's not really a lot there.
Right.
Because, I mean, you'd rather just kind of take credit for it and get on with your life. That's the whole point of it.
Absolutely.
But if you're having problems with anything, you know, get online and you know, squeal about it. That's why, you know, sites like Yelp are so popular, is because, you know, you go on there and almost every review is bad.
Well,
really?
Sadly, there's just so much vicious misinformation, disinformation on all those types of sites.
Coast to coast and worldwide.
You know, I just want to say, you know, you guys are doing a great thing. It's such a uncomfortable topic to talk about, especially for a guy, you know, young guys in their early 20s. And, you know, I'm glad that you guys could tune in and, you know, listen to you guys.
Spencer Coburn's The Bald Truth.